can touch him, hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never. Oh, he's such a present tense tonight. Oh, he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name again. Oh, he is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then changes and you're down in the valley. Faith, child, for you're never alone. Oh, just praise him. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith when upon the mountain, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation. That's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Oh, when things go wrong, oh, right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in. And let's sing that last verse again. And no talk of faith when we're upon the mountain, but the talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley trials and temptation. That's right. He'll make them right in the God of the good times. Is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. Hallelujah. What a comfort to know he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He knows all of our needs. Brother Thomas, would you come this afternoon and take up the tithes and offering? We serve a wonderful God this afternoon. I tell you, it's cold on the outside, but to be in his presence, it makes everything right. Amen. Oh, my heart sings today, sings for joy and gladness. Jesus saves, satisfies, banishes all my sadness. Hope is gone, peace is mine. He's like to a river. Jesus is wonderful, mighty to deliver. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise. Once a sinner, free from condemnation, Jesus gives liberty and a full salvation. Now the sins of the past have been all forgiven, and my name is inscribed on the book of heaven. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he, and he's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. I am living here with my Lord in a holy union, day by day, all the way, holding sweet communion. Complete as I sit at your feet. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. At your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Oh, I just want to glorify His name. Oh, I just come to glorify His name. There's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify. Oh, can we just lift our hands this afternoon and praise Him? Come to glorify your name, glorify your name. I just come to glorify your name, oh, His name. There's no greater name, oh, He's so great. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify your name. Oh, just sing it to Him again. Oh, I just come to glorify His name, His precious name. I just come to glorify His name. For there's no greater name I know. I tell it wherever I go. Glorify, oh, glorify your name. Let's all stand this afternoon. And words of life, words of hope, gives us strength, helps us cope. In this world, wherever we roam, the word of God, oh, what a light. Oh, yes, word of God, ever true. Is changing me, is changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. And holy words, they're handed down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice. Faithful words of Christ, holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Oh,
changing you. I hope we're a changed group of people. I hope we're changed every service. We're changed every day. Because one day we're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And then we're going to get out of this place. So God bless you. Thank you for coming out on a good cold night this evening. And I know we didn't get a lot of snow, but the people down south did. Kind of weird, but weird things going on. You never know. But thank God for the people out there that kept the roads safe for us. And, you didn't get any mail today because the mail didn't run. We didn't have any anybody want to get out in all that deep snow we got. Anyway, you'll get it tomorrow, though. So all your bills, they'll be in the mail tomorrow. So this past weekend, thank you all again for helping. We sure had a wonderful time. Brother Darrell just got home right before dark, and he already had about 2.5 inches of snow on the ground. And he sent me a message. It was like 12 degrees that morning, and we were 18. So I told him we had a heat wave going on down here. So he made it back safe, and he really appreciated the pulling of the gift and all that. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. And we sure appreciate everybody that helped. Man, y'all did a real good job. So we had a real good crowd, and we were able to feed everybody on Saturday and then had a real good time on Sunday. Brother Bob will be preaching for us next Wednesday night. And not this coming weekend, the next weekend, February the 2nd. All right, the second service, we're changing it to a worship service. I only have a couple of questions, and we were going to have a Q&A, but we're going to have a worship service. I know Brother Luis is going to be gone, but the song leaders, musicians, we'll get together, and we'll just have a worship service. You can work on your keys. You can work on we got some new brothers and sisters that are wanting to play instruments, so we want to get together that weekend. I think that's a little more imperative now that we do that than answering a couple of questions. So, but we'll still have pizza. We'll still have something to eat between service, and then we'll start at 2:30. Straight into the worship service and song service at 2:30. All right. So song leaders, bring you some new songs. Somebody wants to practice the song, then, or with a group, or if you want to practice singularly, that's fine. That's what it's for. It's for everybody to get together and start off in the right key and keep the right key and have just some really good harmony. And we've got some new ones. Sister Emma did a wonderful job this weekend on that cello. Man, good job. And we want to let her feel comfortable, and different ones feel comfortable with playing instruments. And I know we don't have room for everybody here, but maybe we'll do a room and shift or something. I don't know. But I want everybody to exercise their gift. I don't want to have a gift sitting somewhere and not being used, and you wanting to use it, and we don't have enough room to use it. Well, we're going to try to do our best to get some room maybe and later on, but just remember that. Also, the Valentine's Banquet will be on the 15th of February at 3 o'clock. Sign-up sheets downstairs. We've got the group coming from Ohio that we'll be keeping them at our house and a few different places, and then we will have Brother Richard Douglas and his wife coming. So they called and said they were going to come and be with us, so we sure do appreciate that. Brother Burley Williams will be with us, and he'll be speaking for us that Saturday just for a few minutes, and then on Sunday he'll be here speaking for us. So all minds clear. You love the Lord? Amen. You want to hear the Word of God? Amen. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the Word of God. I don't want to hear myself speaking. I want to hear God speaking to us tonight. So we're going to start tonight, and we're going to stay in that transition to perfection, part 9. But we're going to talk tonight about restored doctrine. Restored. Remember last time we preached, we talked about the mysteries. And there was mysteries that came about that we didn't. I'm not plugged in. That's why they don't have it on there. It would help if y'all could see what I see. Sorry about that. Maybe now. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. There we go. 2 verse 9. But we're going to talk about restored doctrine. Now listen, doctrine is important. Amen. True doctrine is imperative. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Everybody's got a doctrine. Tonight, the Baptist has a doctrine, the Methodist has a doctrine, the Pentecostal has a doctrine, the oneness has a doctrine, the two-ness has a doctrine, this one has... Everybody's got a doctrine. Brother Branham said a church without a doctrine is not a church. So the church, the doctrine that we have here is we believe in adoption. We believe in being more mature in our Christian walk and in our fellowship. And then God told us here in Corinthians, we'll read it, 2 verse 9, He has opened the door for us to know the deep things of God. You just got to be able to get in there yourself and make yourself available to it. All right? Remember I read you all that quote where Brother Brown said, it's not just reading verse by verse, not just reading the Bible, though that's good. But a deeper understanding of what's going on is what we need in the end time to change our bodies. It's not going to be just normal preaching. Sure, it's going to be preaching the Word of God. But you've got to react to it, and it's got to change you. All right? The Word's going to have to change you. You can't change yourself. I can't change you. The Word is going to have to change you. All right? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Let's bow our heads. Lord, be with us tonight. Give us strength, Lord, to speak to the people. You do the speaking, Father, and let us all listen to you tonight, Lord, the things that are laid on our heart. I pray that you'll be with ones that are sick, Lord. Be with Anna Dale, Lord, getting close to that baby coming, Lord. I pray that you'd give her strength. And, Lord, just be with them in the time, Lord. And just be with the family, Lord, and bless each one. Father, forgive us of our sins and our mistakes. Be with the ones that have to travel on the highways, Lord, that you'll keep those roads clear for each one, Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them, what? That love him, or that agape him. Not filial him, agape him. Know who he is, know what he's doing, know what he's saying, and know what the revelation of it is. All right, everybody with me? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get the full revelation of God. All right? Because Satan, I don't believe Satan can give you a revelation. You know that. Amen. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Holy Spirit is out there searching the deep things of God. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, guess what? You'll be searching for the deep things of God. Amen. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Like I said before, we can all communicate with the world. We used to have the spirit of the world. Amen. And we acted like the world. We didn't act different. We acted just like the world acted. Because if you have a spirit of man, you're going to act like that. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's why we're all odd. That's why we're different. That's why people look at you different or ask you questions. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Now, we have received, now watch, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You may be seated in the Lord as blessing to the reading of the word. We talked about in the book of Matthew. We'll just review here just a second. Matthew 13, verse 5. This is the sower of the seed. Now, what is the seed? The seed is the word of God. Amen? The sower is the Son of Man. All right? So some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. They had earth. It went into something. Amen? And forthwith they sprung up. Okay? So they had life. They sprang up. But what happened? Because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Remember, that word deepness means the depth of God. And we know it's a parable that the seed should have been sown deeper into the earth naturally, but that's the same thing spiritually. It's the seed of God planted deep in your heart, and that's what's going to keep you, as the Bible says, rooted and grounded in God. Not coming to church. Know why you come. Know why you have that desire to come. Know why you don't want to, like Brother Branham and I. See, He had the same thing to worry with. He said, y'all sit home and watch I Love Susie. Well, put your in, 2025, whatever y'all stay home for. And I don't mean y'all, I mean people. Well, stay home for anything, and Brother Branham dealt with it too. He said, you'll sit home and watch I Love. He never did say Lucy, he always said Susie. So you can tell he didn't watch it. But he knew that's what they was doing. They were sitting there watching it and not going to church. So anyway, so they had no deepness of earth. In other words, the word was not sown down deep enough to when the sun, S-O-N, began to shine. Some people are going to walk away when they see the S-O-N begin to shine in the end time. Because you know what happened when the S-O-N began to shine 2,000 years ago? The people walked away from him and literally killed him. Amen? So they didn't know the depths of God. You and I is a requirement that we are not in grammar school anymore. Now, some may be. That's okay. But we can't stay there. This is a progressive gospel. This is a gospel that brings us, as we were talking about, transition to perfection. That means there's got to be a move. Amen. We've got to move. We got to be a church on the move. We got to be individuals on the move. Matthew 17, verse 9, they came down from the mountain. Hallelujah. And Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scriptures or the scribes say that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come, look, and restore all things. So we're looking at restored doctrine. Now listen, Jesus Christ was the doctrine of God. He wasn't a doctrine. He wasn't part doctrine. He wasn't right every once in a while. He was the attribute of God because he was God. Okay? So he didn't make a mistake. Now, I wrote myself a note right here. He didn't change the doctrine. Elijah's not going to come to change the doctrine. He's going to come to restore the doctrine that's already there. We'll prove that here in just a minute. Their doctrine had to be restored under the first part of Brother Branham's ministry. It had to be restored back to where they believed it in the first place. Right. And then in the seals opened, which was something nobody had ever seen, which is something that you and I just, we know what it is. We know when the seals broke that Brother Branham said this became a brand new Bible. He'd read it probably thousands of times. But it became new. Has it become new to you? Have you opened a book? Yeah. Have you opened a Bible and said, man, I never seen that before. Somebody told me something downstairs Sunday, and I kind of chuckle because how many times have you ever done that yourself? You've read the Bible and read the Bible like 8 or 10 times. Somebody quote a scripture and you go, I didn't read that. Or I didn't get that. It wasn't your time. That's what makes an eternal book. It's an unfolding. It's a continual unfolding. Something may not be anything to me. Romans 6, verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, I don't sin. According to God. But I sin according to me. Everybody with me? So we're going to have to start believing what he said. Because it says right here, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So Brother Branham, in his first part of his ministry, before he brought the great mystery. Because remember, the Bible tells us in Revelation 10:7, there's only one mystery. The mystery of God will be finished. Not the mysteries. The mysteries is the ones that we listed, and we'll get to them in just a second. But remember, every doctrine of every church, of every denomination, comes from the four gospels of the Bible. Now, we know there's a book of Acts, but what's the book of Acts doing? Telling what Jesus said. What's Corinthians doing? Telling what Jesus said. Or even Paul going back in the Old Testament. Isaiah said, this one said, that one said. Everybody with me? So they didn't get it from another book. They got it from, they didn't even have a Bible at that time. Scripture was not written until 1,500 years ago or put together. Sure, there were scrolls. There were things they read. And you think it's hard. You take somebody like the Apostle Paul. Now, we know Paul was a learned man. He was very, very smart. And he took those Old Testament scrolls. He took the Torah and the Old Testament saint of prophets, and he wrote 80% of the New Testament from those scriptures. That's why he was a prophet. He got it straight from God, and he interpolated or didn't change it. He made it come alive. To me, he made it come alive. He made the Old Testament come alive, because that's what the New Testament is. It's the Old Testament come alive. All right, because in the Old Testament, we stay condemned. In the New Testament, we've been delivered. All right, is everybody with me? So he didn't come to change. This Elijah that's coming didn't come to change any doctrine. He came to restore the doctrine that was already there. All right? Then bring the mystery. Now, we don't get to that mystery yet. All right? Because the seals didn't open until 1963. So all that first church age, all the people in the first church age, the one where he says here, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. What? Heart of the children to their fathers. What? The faith of the fathers is the doctrine that the whole church should be based on. You hear me? Should be based on. Because the first three church ages, it was based. When you went to a church on a corner over there, they were preaching the gospel. If you'll read back in your history, and I read back, and I can't remember the book I was reading, but it was a historian. He was talking about the change. Oh, it's called Anatomy of a Hybrid. Brother Oltig gave it to me. It's Anatomy of a Hybrid. What? How the church got hybridized. Because just as now you see all kind of doctrines on every corner, before Nicaea, 99% of the churches were from that original church on the day of Pentecost. Right. They were everywhere. And they were preaching the correct doctrine. Now, you had certain ones. We know Paul said grievous wolves, and people like Cerinthius and different ones brought their own doctrine in. But in a whole, the first three ages, when you went to a church, you heard the teachings of Paul. You heard the teachings of Peter. You heard those teachings. You didn't hear false doctrine. But what happened was that doctrine began, as Brother Brown tells us in the Restoration of the Bride Tree and Spoken Word's original seed. He said the word was eaten down. Now listen, the word's powerful. But the word polluted or diluted is not powerful. I said the word diluted. We make it of none effect. What did Jesus tell them? You've made this word of God of none effect because you brought your traditions. What? So let's take that word tradition out and put doctrine in. Same thing. Their traditions, a tradition is something they did every time. They did every day. They did every week. They did every year, right? But he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now that's what John the Baptist did. And we know the heart of the children to the fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So now in Isaiah, I want you to read this with me. Isaiah 28:5. Now this is the Old Testament, but this is Isaiah. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory. Now, we're going to talk about doctrine tonight, restored doctrine, how it kind of got eroded and how it's been restored. Okay, is everybody with me? Amen. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of what? His people. And for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Now, watch. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophets. Didn't say the people. Didn't say the people. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, coming from a baby, coming from your baby nourishment up until what? Being an adult. Right. All right? Listen, kids don't understand doctrine. Right. Come on. Right. Sure, they can tell you about one God. They can tell you about different things. But they unless they get an experience, but they still have that mind Now, I've seen some kids that were smarter than us, so I'm talking about worldly smart. But as far as being in the message of the hour, sometimes it is hard for young kids, even young kids that just started in the message. I'm talking about older people. To listen and know what's going on. But listen, you got to stay there long enough to let God work through all of your and mine issues that's between this ear and this ear. Okay? Let him continue. Because listen, we were all born what? Contrary to God. Born in sin, shaping iniquity, espoused from our mother's womb, a liar. Doomed and on our way to hell. Right? Putting several scriptures together. We know that. Amen? So we are born contrary to God from the beginning. So God's got to change, as Paul says, having a newness of mind, having a newness of speech, having a newness of thought, because this is all contrary to God. All this that we were at the beginning, because we were all contrary to God. Listen, you didn't love God when you was a kid. You didn't really know anything about it. But you grew up, and that's where we have to come to. We have to come to a place where we graduate from the elementary school, middle school, to high school, to college. So them that are weaned from the milk, look, weaned from the milk. That means they were drinking milk, and now they're weaned from it. Everybody with me? And drawn from the breast. In other words, come away from the mama's breast. Come away from depending on mama to give you your nourishment. Everybody with me? Now watch. For precept must be just a little bit upon precept. Precept must be, sometimes precept. No, the Bible says precept must be upon precept. Precepts upon precept. He says that twice. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Remember, Paul tells us that it would be great to speak with tongues. And Paul set that in order, that we could have diversity of tongues and speaking in tongues. He said, but what he said, give me five words, in other words, spoken by revelation. Give me five words inspired by God that we can all understand. He said, I'll take that over that any day. You say, I've never spoke with tongues. Yeah, you have. When you talk about God doing something in your life, and it's a revelation, and you tell somebody out there about it, you're speaking in tongues to them. Because they're not understanding what you're talking about. But that's okay. There's an interpretation there that's yours. It's an interpretation that's yours. Personal interpretation. Remember, the Bible even tells us, if you speak in tongues and there's nobody to interpret it, it's for you. It's for you to have. All right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So when don't get hung up with, I've never spoken in tongues. You speak in tongues all the time.
Right.
Tongues is an unknown language.
Right?
Right? You speak an unknown language. When we go downstairs and we talk about the serpent seed, or we talk about one God, or we talk about water baptism, that is speaking in tongues. You are speaking in a heavenly language that man cannot understand. You ought to be happy for that, that God's give you that. To whom he said, this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. Look, that they might go and fall backwards, be broken, snared, and taken. Even though they heard it, line upon line, precept upon precept, they didn't receive it.
Right.
So it was a stumbling block.
Amen.
Right.
It was, they were broken, they fell backwards, they were snared and taken. That's what happened. If you'll keep reading the early history of the church, and Brother Brown covers it some with the Nicene Council, that prophets went to Nicaea. Men of God went to Nicaea to try to get them to understand. And he said they got there and they couldn't do it. Why? Because Satan was taking over. And God was allowing that to happen because there had to be a dark ages. There had to be a dark time so that you and I could come out of that dark time. Listen, you and I have dark time. You and I go through seasons and dark times. But remember, it's just a season. It's just a season. Don't make it a year. Just go through a season. Brother Anderson would love for winter to be 3 days long. He looked like Sasquatch back there a few minutes ago with all that garb he had on to keep himself warm. But that's all right. Brother, you're up there this tall. You ought to be a little bit warmer than the rest of us. But that we go through a season. Listen, how are we going to really, really appreciate spring without this right here? You're not going to appreciate spring. You're going to appreciate spring when we come in here and go, man, it's 70 degrees outside and I don't have to bundle up. Now look at this. Let's just for a second. Said, who shall make them understand doctrine, shall teach knowledge and understand doctrine? Because what we're doing is we're looking at a restored doctrine right now, today. Today, you have been restored back to the faith of the first church age. Amen. You can get excited about it, or you don't have to get excited about it. But I'm excited that God has put me in a place where I can. Right. That I can walk like Paul. I can walk like Peter. I can walk like James and John. All the different ones. And listen, we can listen now at the Bible, read the Bible, understand what the Bible says because of their teaching. And that doctrine through the prophet, through the Elijah number 4, has been restored back to the faith of the fathers. But now remember, we got to keep going on. We can't stay there, though. Right. All right, so look, let's look at what I looked up this word teaching. That which is taught are doctrine. So even Jesus, they talk about his teaching, and he talks about his teaching. He's talking about his doctrine. Right. All right, concerning something. You got to have a specific doctrine. You say, well, I just believe anything. That's not a doctrine. Right. You got to believe the truth. Are you believing error? Listen, you only got two ways. You got right and wrong. Now, you may be in transition from wrong to right, or you even may be in transition from right to wrong. We've seen people do that. But they never had anything to hold them over here like the Scripture says. They weren't rooted and grounded. They didn't have good teaching. They didn't have the depth taught to them so that their roots. Now, listen, how does a root get further down into the ground? The wind blows. The wind blows in big pecan trees in my yard. Pray that don't ever flip them over. But every time I see them do that, I think, man, about 20 feet under that ground, that root's moving. And what it's doing is it's loosening the dirt up. So that now in September or in March, when the growing season starts, they can start shooting up again because they've got what? They've got root. They're grounded and settled. So number two, look, the act of teaching, now this is doctrine, instruction in religious assemblies of the Christians to speak in the way of teaching. So in other words, you can't just say I've got a doctrine and not be able to tell it. Right. Hello. Right. Come on, the doctrine you have is you. Right. You are the doctrine. Right. To speak in the way of teaching. Remember the Bible, Paul tells us, you got to give a reason of the hope that lies inside of you. If you can't explain why God saved you, if you can't explain why you're in this message and the mysteries that were restored back that they had already, right. It's in the Bible, right. Then I don't know where you're at. I don't know where you've been. Amen. It doesn't hurt my feelings for you to explain what you understand. Okay? Doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I've had people call and say, hey, can you come talk to this person? I thought, man, if you can't explain water baptism, you got a problem. I'm telling you, don't be calling me to explain water baptism to somebody. You better be able to do it yourself. You better be able to understand and be able to tell. That's your doctrine. Are we just sitting here like Brother Darrell was saying? We just come here and we're... Instead of standing on the promises, we're just sitting on the premises.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah. When you get that interpreted, you'll understand it. I mean, really. to speak in the way of teaching in distinction from other modes of speaking in public. Do you know what's going to change our body? Our doctrine. Our doctrine is what's going to change our body. It's going to literally change you from a, some of us that are old, but from a corrupt body to an incorrupt body. And it doesn't matter if you're buried in the grave. That doesn't go away. You just take the doctrine from here, and that doctrine's what takes you there. But you know what's going to happen? That doctrine's not going to go away. That doctrine's going to bring them back here.
Right. Amen.
I just believe that 100%.
Amen.
They're not sitting over there, Brother Dale, and all the day. They're not just sitting over there going. No, they're having a hallelujah time.
Amen.
And they know that they're not in their right to be conditioned. They know because of their doctrine.
Right.
Because they've been taught right. That they're going to come back here. Pick up their body.
Amen.
And we're going to take a rapture.
Amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes,
amen.
To teach one, to impart instruction. What did Jesus do? When Jesus came on earth, look right here, Luke 4, verse 30, 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. In other words, what he said, he lived it. And what he said happened. Now remember though, there was a mystery, because the Son of Man had a mystery to him that wasn't revealed when he was here on earth. That was withholding for this day. When the Son of Man be risen again from the dead, he's going to tell us how to get our body changed. He's going to tell us how to live a life exemplary to God and not this world. So they were astonished at his doctrine. What? They were astonished at his teaching. To teach one, to impart his... Listen, he was trying to instill, if those of you that are still watching Chosen, Jesus was a human man. And he had frustrations. He said, they're not getting... He told his mom, he said, they're not getting what I say. Because of this. Remember, she said, well, I know you're a human. I'd have changed your diaper. Right? But he was so much human, but he every day he would expound on something. And that might have been days he was on vacation. It might have been days he didn't feel good. Hello, somebody. But when he spoke with as a man of authority. But they weren't getting it, because without the Holy Ghost, you can't get but just the surface of what Jesus was teaching. And he said it in parables so nobody could understand it but the disciples. But they weren't going to understand it until the Holy Ghost come.
Amen.
Wait from power on high, from on high. Remember it being endued with power from on high. Then you'll understand these things. But what they had to do is they had to pack it into their heart. They had to go to church. They had to go with him everywhere he went.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Right.
The thing taught, to explain or expound a thing, or to teach one something. Listen, Jesus might have got frustrated, but he knew his work was not what... Because see, remember, they kept asking him, when's the kingdom coming? When you restore... You say you're leaving. You said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what he said to pray. Told them to pray that, right? They thought it was right then because they were carnal. They had carnal interpretation, but I'll promise you on the day of Pentecost, they didn't have that anymore. They walked outside and said, look, our work's not over. It just now started. The work of Jesus is not over. It just got started. So Luke 4, verse 32 says, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. John 7, verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. Now watch, if any man do his will, in other words, what? If anybody does the Father's will, if you're doing the will of the Father, you'll know the doctrine's right, whether it be of God. or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. You got to come to see me because I'm the only one that's got the revelation. We've heard that before. Now, that's garbage. Garbage. What do you do with garbage? You throw it in the trash. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him. We as ministers don't seek our own glory. We're telling you about our Father. We're telling you, expounding our doctrine about God, not us. Brother Branham did the same thing. He never said, sure, he said, this is my doctrine. Sure, he said, this is my revelation. But that we know he was a prophet. And God spoke straight to him. I wish God would speak straight to us every once in a while. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. I'm sorry. Pray for me. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. Now watch. And no unrighteousness is in him. Look how strong that doctrine is, and you know where it comes from. Listen, we know, we heard this, we heard these great mysteries from Brother Branham when he spoke them. Because what happened was, and we'll look at it in a minute, down through the ages, it got all changed. And listen, God winked at their ignorance, but there was no power in false doctrine. There is no power in false doctrine. They think, now Satan will give them a permitted power, because remember, they speak in tongues. They can do all these things, right? But they can't put the word together. That's the whole thing. They can't put the word together. Satan cannot put this word together. He can take a piece over here. What did he do in the garden? He took a piece of the word, added a word, and killed everybody. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses, now watch. What's Jesus standing there saying? You're not listening to me. I am telling you the truth. I am telling you about my Father, and you're not listening. Because what does he say in verse 19? Did not Moses give you, now he's pointing to the Pharisees and Sadducees. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's pretty clear. For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Every bit of that got diluted. Every bit of that got erased out. It got looked over, and if people could do it, they would tear that page out of the Bible. Amen. Brother Robert Tatum said that when he was a Pentecostal, said he'd get to Acts 2, and he'd just flip over to Acts 3 or 4. He didn't want to see that because he couldn't explain it. But praise God, one day, God shined light on it. Amen. And he didn't do away with it anymore. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly, now watch, they gladly received the word from a Holy Ghost preacher named Peter. Because they had power behind it. Men and brethren, what must we do? We were pricked in our heart. Whatever you're saying here, we need to understand this. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now watch. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't waver from it. They understood it. And with the Holy Ghost, they understood that that was the truth. And in breaking of bread and in prayer. Oh, fellowship too. Romans 6, verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Let me read that again. What then shall we sin because, see, now we're under grace now, then we can do whatever we want to do. That's kind of what Paul was saying in the book of Romans. He said, no, you can't do that, buddy. Uh-uh. God forbid that we take and make it greasy. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, His servant you are, to him you obey. In other words, the doctrine you obey, you become a servant to that.
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Right.
Listen, I am a servant to Acts 2:38. I am a servant to Malachi 4 and 5. I am a servant to Revelation 10, 7. But now others can read it. Don't bother them one bit. Don't bother them none. Well, it does bother them, but they just not go follow it. Because of their what? Previous doctrinal teaching. What did Brother Brown tell us? Marriage and divorce. He said, the reason we're in the shape we're in is because of one thing. Misinterpreted doctrine. Amen? Misinterpreted doctrine is why we're in the shape we're in. Well, you can take it and don't even put marriage and divorce in there. Put everything in there. The reason we're in the shape we're in is because of the doctrine that we held so true that was so false.
Amen.
His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart, watch, heart, soul. You have obeyed from your soul that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Listen, doctrine will either kill you or it'll change your body. One of the two. People are going to go to hell because they hold on to a doctrine that's false. And people are going to go to heaven because of the doctrine they hold on is true.
Amen.
So what? Is doctrine important? Uh-huh. Yes, it is. Very. Romans 16, verse 17. We're going to walk through the scripture a little bit tonight. Now, I beseech you, brethren, watch this. Now, listen. We should exercise brotherly kindness to everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Right? But now watch what Paul, the prophet messenger, said to do to somebody that had a false doctrine.
Amen.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary the doctrine which you have learned.
Right.
And avoid them.
Amen.
And avoid them.
For
they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the souls of the simple. Those people at Nicaea got their soul deceived by the devil through those priests and all the different things. Everybody with me? Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Look, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So we got to come to that unity of the faith by what? The doctrine of those five ministers, fivefold ministry. Amen?
Right.
Till we all come to the in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Now what? Teaching of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, watch, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine.
Amen.
That's what blew in the Dark Ages, is a wind of doctrine.
Right.
Blew over here, and they, well, we'll take this. And then you got somebody like Constantine that says, I can't defeat them with my army. But we're going to take all that and we're going to defeat them. Now, he didn't say that, but the devil inside of him was doing the same thing.
Right.
He was a tool in the hands of the devil to get those people to believe that now they're very religious because of him seeing a vision or whatever more.
Right. Right.
But it was totally false.
Right.
All right? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. What? By the sleight of men. By the slight of the men of those fivefold ministry that we were talking that are false.
Right.
Where does false doctrine come from? It doesn't come from the air. It comes from somebody teaching you that.
Right.
By the slight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it's not some fly-by-night something. The preachers got in the pulpit, and they started preaching what happened in Nicaea, that everything got changed to a Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine. We're going to now baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We're going to say that there's an eternal hell. There's a purgatory. All these different things. Mary resurrected with Jesus. You know that's what the Catholic believe, right? That's why they glorified her or deified Mary. And you know what? You ask the Catholic, they'll die for what they believe. Because they've been told it since they were a kid. What? Told it. Doctrinally told it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined. Now look, fitly joined together. Not clay and iron. Not flesh and wood. Fitly joined, the whole body, fitly joined together. Your body today is made out of flesh. Right. All right? There's no wood parts. Now, some of you may have an operation. You got some metal parts, but that's not original. Right. And compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure, what, of every part, body, maketh increase of the body until the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that look, you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Look, now watch. Having the understanding, having the doctrine darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Amen? Didn't Jesus say give sight to the blind? That's what he come to do. He come to do all these things. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia. That thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Right. Neither give them heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith so do. In other words, he's sending somebody to go straighten out a doctrine and tell them you're wrong. Boy, that'd work in the message, wouldn't it? 1 Timothy 4 verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. You got to get it. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy 4, 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now this is Paul speaking. And unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil surmising. Perverse disputing of men. Now watch. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds. And watch what he said. Destitute of the truth. Suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Doctrine is important. True doctrine is the only way you're going to get out of here. That's why God winked at the ignorance down through the church ages. But when we come to this age right here, This is the age that ends everything. This is the age that Gentiles will be finished up and God will go to the Jews. So there had to come a restoration even back to where God can deal with the people like he dealt with them in the first church age, second church age, third church age. Amen? And Brother Ram stood and proved. He said, the proof of the resurrection. You got the healing campaigns. You got the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Just what Jesus did when he walked on the face of the earth. And I just want to say this. Those people that thought he was God, if you walked with him every day, you might say it too. I'm talking about Brother Branham. Because of all the miraculous things and all the spiritual things that he just worked in a world that was completely, totally different from anything we try to be spiritual and we ain't even close. Man will walk up to you and say, hey, if you want to find those deer, go that way. There'll be seven of them over there on that hill. Just pick the one you want and shoot it. Don't go over here. Your car keys are over there. We'll get that for you. Everything will be fine. Don't you worry. And it all came true. It all came true. You would have thought Jesus Christ was back on earth again. But we know it wasn't. We know that's false. But see, that's how close that Satan can get, even doctrinally, get to where you look with your natural eyes and you see somebody that acts so much like God, they think they're God. But listen, there's one quality that you and I don't have that Jesus had. One. We were all born by sex. He was not. Period. Every person since Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, they were, well, not Adam and Eve, but Cain and Abel, the product of, were born by sex. He was not. If you can claim you're not, then we'll talk about it. But I doubt that very seriously. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Exhort with all what? Long suffering and doctrine. What? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure the truth. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible talks about fables several times. It's all connected to doctrine. Listen, if it's not truth, it's a fable. Right. Yeah. Titus 1 verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Talking about the Gentiles. Well, I mean the Jews, right?
Right.
Whoso mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake.
Amen.
Pretty tough, old Paul. Yeah. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Now watch. This has come to the end right here. Paul gives us all that. We read in Romans. We read in Timothy. We read in Corinthians. He's talking about doctrine, exhort, talk to him. This. So Hebrews 6, verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, I'll explain that in just a second, because you go to the Greek and you'll see exactly why he said it the way he said it. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He's not saying that we must do away with those principles. Everybody with me? We can't do away with the doctrine of baptism. We may have a baptism not too far in the future. Laying on of hands. We still believe in that. Can't take it out of the Bible. And of resurrection of the dead. Absolutely. And of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Now that word leaving. Now watch. Leaving. Now, if we come to this church and we leave and go home, does that do away with the church?
No.
Church is still here. So that word leaving, according to the Strong's Concordance, in order to go, to another place. So he's saying leaving, not leaving and doing away, but leaving this building, the building's still going to be here, and go on to perfection. To leave so that what is left may remain. Leave remaining. Not doing away with. The word principles. That by which anything begins to be the origin or look, the active cause. So the active cause of us standing here today, the only reason we're going to understand the seals and we're going to understand what Brother Brown talks about, the the three pulls and the thunders and all these great mysteries, is because we have left the principles, but we have went through the principles. We went through the principles of the doctrine of Christ. We have not done away with them, but we have come this building, just for say, this building is partial. This building got a sleepy spirit on it. Bless y'all's heart. This building is partial, just say. Now, that building over there is perfect. You got to go through this first. You got to go through first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, right? Then you go into another building. So you're leaving grammar school, but you're not doing away with grammar school. Everybody with me? So that he's not saying leave, like leave it. We don't need to teach. No, there's still people coming in. There's still new people. They need to learn. They need to go what you went through. And have patience. Long suffering. I read you the scripture a minute ago. Long suffering with people. All right? So therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let's go into perfection. Listen, if we preach on water baptism today, and then Sunday we preach on water baptism, and then Wednesday Brother Bob gets up and he takes the scripture, Acts 2:38, it would be exciting for some, but others would say, give me some more. There's more to that, because remember, the Bible says there's a promise. The promise is to you. What promise? Tell me about the promise. The promise is God's going to take you to this doctrine of the message of the hour, and he's going to change your body. Amen. 2 John 1, verse 9. Whoso transgresseth and watch. Whoso transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. This is John. 2 John. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Because we understand what? We understand they're the same. We understand there's an immorphy from Father to Son. Amen? But not doing away with the Father. We understand that. The Trinitarian says, look, there's a Father, there's a Son, and the Holy Ghost must be somewhere. False doctrine versus truth. Now watch. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. This is John the Revelator. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. I'm reading the Bible. Y'all don't clam up on me. I'm reading the Bible. This is the Bible. It's not my opinion. Amen. Neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deeds. I can say that again, partakers of his evil deeds. Let me read it one more time. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Acts 20, verse 27. Paul saying, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. In other words, all the doctrine of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, now this is right before he dies, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now look, you would think, if you stopped right there, you'd think, well, now, Paul will be aware, because somebody's going to come in and try to bring a false doctrine. Somebody's going to come in the door. Verse 30 takes care of all that. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Also of your own self. In other words, he's speaking to a congregation. Maybe he's having a minister's meeting. Yeah, let's make it a little more personal. Maybe he's having a minister's meeting. He's saying, oh, beware of them grievous wolves. And I'm sure they're all going, yeah, well, them, we're good. We're good here, Paul. We're good. He said, also of yourself shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now, that's what happened in the message, this great, glorious message, that all the doctrines have been restored and everything has been wide open.
Amen.
Yet that's happened already many, many times. A couple of quotes and then we'll be done. You must be born again, 1961. Now, God bless his word. And I want to take the subject this morning of Jesus' first doctrine. The first doctrine of Jesus was, you must be born again. That was his first doctrine. Now, listen, he's preaching in 1961. Sure, he's in Jeffersonville, but there's Methodists that says sprinkling gets me in the body. There's Baptists that says shaking of hands and a letter in good standing. I told Sister Rebecca Calhoun Sunday, I said, you're just one of us, your letter's still here. But we laugh, but I promise you, they hold on that letter.
Amen.
And if they get mad at this one and go to the other place, they demand their letter.
Right.
Because their Holy Ghost is going with them.
Right.
Remember we had that, who was it? Was it Judy's sister? Somebody was sitting in front of us. Remember she turned around, she said, fat guy, don't preach what, in other words, don't preach what I like. I'm moving my letter. Like, you know, like the whole place is going to collapse. Because she's going to take her letter. She said that, though. She turned. She said, I don't like it. If he keeps on what he's doing, I'm just going to take my letter and go somewhere else. Like Daddy said, that brother, that son and father and son got mad at General Motors and said, come on, son, let's go home. I'm tired. Like the whole place is going to collapse. Yeah. It ain't going to collapse. Your letter's not going to do you any good. So look, the first doctrine Jesus preached was you must be born again. Now, how many different ways of being born again has there developed? That was his very first doctrine. He told Nicodemus, not you must believe the message.
Right.
Not you must speak in tongues, as the Pentecostals say, to get the Holy Ghost. False doctrine out of a truth. Baptist, like I said, shake hand. Y'all may think it's strange, but we have a lot of Baptist friends. And if you ever make that decision and they shake your hand and turn you around and fill out that little letter I was talking about, you don't have to darken the doors of the church again. They believe in eternal security, that once saved, always saved.
Right.
You can go out and live with 25 women, smoke, drink, cuss, and run around and die 50 years later, and they'll put you in the ground as a good Baptist.
Right.
Now, that is their doctrine, and it's absolutely false. There's people going to their grave that's going to say, oops.
Right.
I said the worst oops moment is when those terrorists, and they're supposed to get 72 virgins, and they're supposed to have all, I don't know why it's 72. They get 72 virgins, and they're going to have all this eternal bliss. When they pull that trigger, and their body comes completely apart, and their soul goes into another dimension, that's the first thing I'm going to say is a whoops. What? But the doctrine is what made him pull that trigger.
Right.
Amen.
False doctrine is what made, no, well, true to him.
Right.
True, listen, will you give your life? Will you pull the trigger for your gospel? I ain't talking about literally pulling, I'm talking about if God didn't, he's not going to do it, but listen, there was a man one time, he told God, he said, thank you for all the things you've done. He said, the first thing that comes through that door, I'm going to sacrifice it.
Right.
what was the first thing come through that door? His daughter. And listen, even his daughter didn't pitch a fit. She said, give me a month or two to go and wail my virginity. In other words, she was a young lady. And then we'd come back. Some of us have been screaming and going to a different country. We'd be under the witness protection program. 1962, restoration of the bride tree. Where did that first doctrine come from outside of the Bible? You historians know where it came from. Now look, where did that first doctrine come from outside of the Bible? You historians, you know where it comes from Rome, exactly where it started. There they started accepting dogma. That's how Irenaeus, St. Martin, Polycarp, all of them, after John's death, for translating the word of God, was on the Isle of Patmos. They burned him in Greece for 24 hours, brought him back, and he still wrote the Bible. God was determined that this Bible would be written. That's the word of God. We can't take away from it or add to it. It's to lay just the way it is, the word. Now look, notice when they got back, when these saints of God trying to hold up that word, now watch, Rome came right in and accepted dogma instead. Now let's just see what she did, some of her false doctrine, what she done. Water baptism, where they were commissioned. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, the word of God, repent every one of you, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. What did Rome do with it? Turned it around and said, be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Making it a creed, not a doctrine of the Bible.
Right.
What did he do? That's that canker worm eating, sprinkling instead of immersion. He's talking about the methods.
Right. Right.
All right? So you see where Brother Brown had to, he stood from 47 to 63. We know there was a healing campaign going on. But he was first Elijah. Elijah had to restore the altar back. Because what happened on that day? Those 400 prophets of Baal brought a false doctrine. And their false doctrine produced zero.
Right.
Nothing. They just broke the whole altar apart. They broke the church apart. That's what happened. And the day of Nicaea, they broke the church apart. They broke the doctrine of God apart. So God had to start right there with a restoration prophet, Elijah, in the end time to restore these doctrines. One God, not a Trinity.
Amen.
Water baptism. We know for a fact why water baptism had to be the way it is.
Amen.
We know we're doing exactly what the Bible said. But 99% of the world will almost fight you over that doctrine.
Amen.
And a Trinity, they got Trinity everything.
Right.
And it ain't nowhere in the Bible. It is a copped up lie.
Right.
Didn't Brother Branham say the spirit that brought water baptism, name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, come from the pits of hell?
Amen.
They even believe in eternal. Oh, don't worry about it. You talk to the Baptists about eternal hell. They will fight you about that one. Oh, yeah, hell's eternal. Hell's eternal.
Right.
So the Catholics, what they did, they just inserted a place to where you can go into a spot there called purgatory, and if you got enough money, you can pay and get yourself into heaven because you're going to hell.
Right.
And what happened with holiness, conduct, and dress, Brother Branham stood there, and he just kept preaching it, bringing out the Jezebel spirit, bringing about all these different things, telling us how to dress. But remember, he did that for 40 years almost. And there in Shreveport on the when he preached Invisible Union, he said, I come here, and every year, you Pentecostals, you cut your hair more short. In other words, he wasn't doing any good. They were believing the doctrine that was false rather than the doctrine that was true. Because I believe the doctrine that William Marion Branham brought was truth.
Amen.
Truth of church order.
Amen.
We know Paul gave us church order in the Bible. That's where Brother Branham, when he comes up and says, all right, we're going to talk about church order today. Ordination of deacons, how this trustee works, how the deacons are supposed to work, and how this is supposed to work, and how this is supposed to work. Well, he was just reading it straight from Paul. It really didn't need an interpretation. But they had got so much away from it till they made the word of God of none effect. Amen. Serpent seed. Talk to somebody about serpent seed. Amen. The people in the first church age knew about that. Right. Amen. They didn't have a false doctrine, remember? Now, body change for Abraham and Sarah, that had to be something in the end time because nobody else preached that before. But you could look inside the Bible, and without changing the Bible, you know that's what happened. We read between the lines. Paul preached on body, spirit, and soul. I believe Paul understood because he said, I pray that your whole body, spirit, and soul be held blameless. In other words, under the word of God. I believe they didn't believe in a tribulation for the bride. No. No white throne judgment for the bride. John even said, he said, thrones. There were people there that were on the righteous side. So there were people that didn't have to stand judgment. They were righteous. In other words, without spot, without wrinkle. Righteousness, righteous people. Paul says, speaking the truth in righteousness, let us grow up. The church ages. Now, I understand one thing. That Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, and different ones, they didn't come on this earth and say, I am church age messenger number one. I am church age messenger number two. No, they come in and they live their life and they preach the gospel. They fell under the anointing of that book of Revelations, 1 through 3. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And they lived their life, but it took a prophet in the end time to reveal who those messengers were. Because Brother Brown even said, he said, now Polycarp, you would think he'd be the one. But he wasn't militant enough. In other words, he was a compromiser. He leaned a little bit toward organization. So God didn't accept him. Statue of Perfect Man, we know the Statue of Perfect Man was preached in the early church ages. Peter's the one that did it. When he wrote them letters, when Peter wrote those letters, he was preaching to somebody. Amen. And what a man to do that. A naked fisherman that cussed. Anybody else want to add something else? He cut off somebody's ear. He had a temper. About every one of them right there, he wasn't. Right? But God picked him. Not us. Not what you thought about it or your neighbor thought about it. It's what God thought about him and said, Peter, you're a changed man. You're the only one that can tell them how to have these virtues. Amen. The 70 weeks of Daniel, we know we're going to study them in a little while. But that wasn't in the first church age. They knew Daniel. They knew all the things that was going on. They had an understanding. But now we compile all this to today. All right, musicians, come on. We're going to compile this all to today. Today, we sit under the understanding of the great Apostle Paul. Believe his doctrine, which is the doctrine of God. Everybody with me? The doctrine of Peter, we preach it. We teach it. Right? But you and I got to have plus because they're dead. They had to go to a grave because of the word that told them they had to go to the grave. Remember? If that seed didn't fall in the ground, that scripture couldn't be fulfilled. So the seed fell in the ground at Nicaea, Brother Brown said, and then had the resurrection or come back up through the reformers, which reformers only reform people. You and I are under a restoration which changes us. Amen. And it will change us in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We've got to have the true doctrine of God. Amen. I believe we have it. I believe we are standing. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. That we are standing in the time that all these mysteries are made known. Amen. And then going on to perfection, not doing away with these, but using these as a foundation, because when the seals open, none of this changed. Except Brother Branham had a deeper understanding of all those doctrines. Remember, he preached, "Why am I against organized religion?" 1959. Then he comes up on the first seal. He says, "Now I know." He said, "I always knew there was something about those denominations." He said, "I know why now." First or second, third, fourth seal. By the time that fourth seal came, he knew where Satan was. He had an idea, but he knew where Satan was. He knew those four horse riders were the devil, not God, not the Holy Ghost, but the devil himself, disguised as a rider. R-I-D-E-R, rider. And a rider, W-R-I-T-E-R. So Brother Branham, listened to him not too long ago, he said, "Thank God for the opening of these seals." Now, he had preached 47 to 63 and seemed like he had preached everything where it was supposed to be. But then he comes up and preaches a message and says, "Thank God for the opening of these seals," is my prayer. He said it many, many times. Thank God that the seals are open. Why? Because it settled a lot of things in his ministry. It settled. He knew. Listen. The greatest thing he knew was, Brother John, he knew God was breaking those seals because he couldn't do it. He preached the seals a long time ago. He preached church ages a long time ago. He preached them in one night. He preached that the White Horse Rider was a mighty conqueror, 1957 or 59. He preached a mighty conqueror and read Revelation 6, verse 1. But he understood right then, I believe, that was it. There was no more. That was already settled. All these great doctrines were settled, but there was something new coming. That book was going to be open, and thank God, I say, for the opening of the book. Thank God for the opening of the book in the end time so that we can dive in, and you know what? We can dive in with confidence. I have confidence this message is right. I have confidence that God has a people that will live this message that is right. On the earth today, there's a group of people that will live this message out to the very end. Not go down, not going in defeat. We're going out of here. So there's your restored doctrine. He had to restore that doctrine. He had to restore us back to the faith of the fathers so that we could understand and then use that for a platform to where he opened the seals. He didn't say, "I see a different book." He said, "That book I'm looking at is a brand new book." He didn't say he got another one. What was in this one was finally open, and he could see what the love letter 100% meant. Because the Son of Man was 100% correct. And if that ministry is supposed to be back here, somebody's going to be 100% correct. Do you believe that? Let's sing a song. God bless you.
Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed.
Get to this word more than anything.
Set me free.
You believe that?
Someday I shall stand by his side.
Worship him. Oh, I am blessed. Just think of all the things.
Oh,
country, nation.
When I lift my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Sing it to him.
I have shoes on my feet.
And they're in this weather, dying. And you and I get to go to a warm house,
brothers,
a warm car. Good job. We're truly blessed.
Through my new birth.
The devil believes. He hates the truth. He hates for you to have a good time. He hates for you to hear the word of God.
I am blessed.
Oh, I am blessed. I'll sing it one more time. You ready to dismiss?
Oh, I am blessed.
Yes, service the next Sunday, February the 2nd.
In the morning,
when I lay my head to rest. One more time.
I am blessed.
Just let that run through your mind all the way home. God, you bless me here. God, you bless me there.
I am blessed. Oh, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Come up while we still play and see if you can, to come dismiss us in a word of prayer.
Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We can gather in your name tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for restoring that word, Lord, and giving us a heart to hear the word restored, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, help us by your grace to go on to perfection, Lord Jesus. Lord, we appreciate you, Lord, and we thank you for tonight's message. Bless our brother, Lord, just for pouring out his heart, Lord Jesus. And may we receive those things, Lord God, that was presented to us tonight. Lord, be with all your children, Lord, all of us, Lord, everyone as they travel home. Keep everyone safe and sound, Lord, on the roads. Oh, God, and bring us back at the appointed time. Keep us, Lord, for the remainder of this week. And may your Holy Spirit strengthen all of us, Lord Jesus, we pray. Bless Brother Wade, Lord, his family. Keep him, Lord. Strengthen him and bless him. All our minister brothers here, Lord, bless him and keep him, Lord. We commit this evening into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. You're dismissed. Go with God. Oh.
I
change.